I mean, if you got a Bible tonight, turn with us over to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to look at an interesting story tonight. One in which David gets a wife. And so we're going to look at really three different people. And those three people really give us some lessons in a lot of things. One of them's name is Nabal, and his name literally means a fool. I'm sure we'd like to be named after that, and that be the meaning of your name, a fool. And we'll see some of his foolish ways. And his wife, who becomes David's wife's name is Abigail, and then David himself. And so remember, too, as we read this, David is still on the run from Saul. He's out there in the wilderness with his men, kind of hiding and having to move from place to place. So let's start reading in 1 Samuel 25 and verse number 2. It said, "And there was a man of Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep, and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of that man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him by my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught missing unto them, and all the while that they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now a days that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And God, we thank you tonight for your word, and we thank you for stories like these that we can look into. And God, we know and believe that every one of these words are your words. And God, you give us this story to better help us live a life that'd be pleasing in your sight. God, help us to heed the warnings that we see, to take the examples that we see and use them both for good and bad, and to avoid the bad and to do the good. And God, we just want to live a life that would bring you glory and honor. And God, we even thank you, as that song that we sang a while ago said, that you bear a part of our sorrows that no one down here can bear. And God, we all know that there are folks that struggle with all sorts of things. And God, we pray you'd help us. And God, we love you tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, so we know that David's on the run, and he's out in the wilderness, and here's what David knows as he's out there in the wilderness. He knows that he's going to need help. He's going to need help. If any of us tonight were to go on the run and try to flee from wherever we're at and go anywhere, we would need some people to help us along the way, and David knew that. And David's out there in the wilderness, and he's out there in Carmel, and finds out that Nabal's shepherds are out there in the fields. And we know that in that day it would be the same as with any time, that when those shepherds were out in the field, that they were in a vulnerable place. I mean, here they are. They're out there keeping the sheep and trying to let them feed and do these certain things. And enemies can come up, or people that would want to steal from them and kill. And so they're in a dangerous spot. And David finds out that these are Nabal's shepherds, and that Nabal's a great man of great prosperity and wealth. And David says, well, I'm going to try to gain favor in this guy's sight, and I'm going to help out his shepherds. And so what David and his men do is they kind of protect these shepherds. And a little while later in the story, one of the shepherds tells Abigail that they were a wall unto us, that basically they kept guard of them by day and night and were taking care of these shepherds. Now, here's one thing that me and you know tonight, or that we need to know, is that we need help in this life. You can't do it alone. You can't make it alone. We need help. And by the way, we need help in so many areas tonight that we could talk all night about it. Everybody in here needs money to be able to pay their bills and buy some food and all this. And guess what? We need somebody to hire you, right? I mean, you need somebody to help you out with that. Somebody might say, well, no, I'm going to work up for myself, and I'll just cut grass. Well, somebody got to let you cut the grass, and somebody's got to pay you. So you need help in the physical realm. You need help in that regard. You know, another thing we need is I need other people's expertise and their knowledge and their advice in my life. We need people that would be willing to mentor us, and people that I could go to and say, hey, I got a problem. How could you help me with that? I oftentimes tell people that in life, and maybe you've noticed, that there are, whether it be on a job or a church or any kind of venture you want to go on, there are these people that I call gatekeepers. And I call them gatekeepers because if they don't want you in, or they don't let you in, guess what? You don't get in. And sometimes we need the help of those people as well. But we also need the help of people spiritually. We talked about that a little bit this morning, that we come here week in and week out. We come here and hear God's word, and we come and share our prayer requests and all those things. And one thing that it does when we come into church on Sunday, for me at least, a lot of times is it resets me on where I need to be. It brings me back to center, if you will. And we need people to encourage us, and we need people to comfort us, and we need those to build us up and edify us. And so we need help along the way. But let me ask you a question. David knew that. He knew he needed help. And you know what David did? David didn't just say, hey, Nabal, give me some food. He didn't just go over there and say, you know what, I need help, and man, you know I need help, and so give me everything that I need. No, David said, I'm going to do something for him, and I'm going to be a blessing for him so that he might be a blessing to me. This was a classic, I scratch your back, you scratch mine kind of situation. And what we can't ever fall into the trap of doing, and by the way, I think we do this a lot, is we might say, I need help, I need encouragement, I need uplifting, I need accountability, I need all this, and yet I give nothing. I give nothing. That is a foolish way to think. You know what the Bible says? It says, if a man wants friends, he must first show himself friendly. And if you want to have friends in this life, let me tell you where you need to start off, and that's by being friendly to others. I think it's amazing how people will do, and I've been around church a long time, and here's what people will do. They come into church, they'll go sit in the corner. They might come in right when it starts, right? Come sit in the corner. And they the first one to shake my hand at the back door, and they get in their car and leave. And they'll do that for 3 or 4 weeks and then tell me, this church is just not a friendly church. And I want to say, well, excuse me, ma'am or sir, you come in right when church starts, you go sit on the back row, you speak to no one, you get up and you're the first one to leave. We might think you want to be left alone by the way that you're acting. And so there's people that want stuff but don't give. They want these things but don't put forth the effort that it requires to get it back. And we could put that into every situation in our life. If we want to have a good working relationship with our boss or our employees or whatever, guess what? We have an obligation to do our part. If we want to have a good relationship with our spouse, guess what we got to do? We've got to do our part. I've got to give. I've got to give that love. I've got to give that affection. I've got to give that communication. You know, Laura was telling me the other day, I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard this, men. She said, you never listen to what I say. You know, she had told me that we had, the other day when we went to the doctor, you know, she told me that we had changed insurance. I said, when did we change insurance? She said, we had this conversation. I said, we never had this conversation, you know. She said, you just don't listen to what I say, you know. But you've got to give that attention. You've got to give. And so David was willing to give here. He was willing to put, you know, he wasn't asking for a handout. I've learned this, that if you have people in your life that maybe there are people that you look up to and respect, whether they be, maybe it even be a marriage that you respect or somebody in business or somebody in the church that you say, I would like for them to spend some time with me and help me. I'm a big... I love to ask questions. I love to hear people give their answers and all those things. Let me tell you a little secret about those successful people that you love. They are busy already. They're successful because they're getting things done. They're already, you know, they've got a great marriage because they're doing things. They all that stuff. And so if you think that they're just going to out of the blue say, you know what? You know what, Derek? I'm just going to come and invest in you. It's probably unlikely to happen because they're busy. You know what I have to do? I have to go to them and say, hey, I wouldn't mind if I could sit down and talk to you and ask your opinion on some things. So you've got to take those steps. And I would say this too about church. And if you don't believe this, I don't know what to tell you. I just can't help you. But people will come to church and say, I would like to be more involved. Do you know what you got to do to get more involved? Get involved. That's all you got to do. If you think that we're going to just come to you and beg you or all these things, that's just not going to happen. We're doing it. We're getting into all you've got to do is come in and say, hey, could I help here? And let me tell you what we're going to do. Get in there and help out, you know. I was telling Miss Gladys after before church, I've had many people come to me through the years and say, Brother Derek, I'd like to just help out in any way I can. Man, just anything you think, you just let me know. And I'll say, look, I need help weed eating the cemetery over there. And that lasts a very short amount of time because the cemetery over there is an animal, okay? You don't want to go over there in that. And it's tough. But what are you doing to get that help that you need? David said, hey, I'm going to take care of that. Now, here's what happens. David sends his men to Nabal and said, you know, we took care of your shepherds out there in the field, and David did, and David, you know, he's going to be the king one day, and he's on the run, and we took care of your shepherds, and they didn't lack anything, they didn't miss anything, we protected them. And just whatever you see fit to give to help us out, give it to us and help us out. And Nabal says, who is David and who is this son of Jesse? And guess what? He is nobody to me. He gives this little thing. He said basically this, I didn't ask for his help. And since I didn't ask for his help, I'm not going to give him anything in return. I've met people like that before. I'm sure we've met people like that. The Bible says that Nabal was a fool. It says that he was an evil man and a rude man, and that's how he acted. And I would say a few things about that. And when we think about that, you know, being rude, I read a quote the other day that said this. It said, being rude is the weak man's imitation of strength. And man, I think that's very true. Being rude is the weak man's imitation of strength. And we can be maybe rude to people or short or say, hey, I don't care. You know, I remember a couple of times. One time we were somewhere and this guy kind of was a notorious, just short and harsh with people. And that's just how he was. And I remember somebody went up to him and said, hey, I'm so-and-so's son. And the guy just did like he said, so? And I was like, man, just slapped you down there, you know. Hey, I'm so-and-so's son. So? I don't really care that you're so-and-so's son. And I remember somebody told me one time they went to go get a job somewhere, and they said, well, you know me, I'm so-and-so. You know my dad. He said, I do know your dad, but I don't know who you are. And so sometimes people are like that. And he was mean. He was selfish. And let me tell you what's an enemy of ours. This is a great enemy. Ego is the enemy, okay? Our ego is the enemy. When we think, Nabal's thinking, I don't need any help. I don't need to help David. I've done this all on my own. I got 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and I got a beautiful wife. I didn't need David yesterday, and I ain't going to need him tomorrow. Let me tell you what's a bad... let me tell you why that's a bad philosophy. Because there are times, and I can be bad at this myself, there are times when we can burn bridges, right? Somebody might do us wrong, or something might happen, and we just burn the bridge. Now, I've had people tell me before, now Derek, don't burn that bridge, and I'll say, hey, I want to throw gas on it and throw the match on it. I don't want them coming back across the bridge. I don't really care. And we get angry, and that's what Nabal had done here. He wanted to do that. Now, here's what happens. And this is a long reading, so we're not going to read it all for sake of time. They go back and tell David. They said, David, Nabal said, who do you think you are? And he doesn't really want to help you at all. And, hey, just go on down the road. And David said, okay, you 400 guys, everybody get a sword on, and we're about to go kill everybody in Nabal's household, and we're going to take what's ours. Now, you say, what in the world is going on there? David gets angry at that response. He's going to take matters into his own hands. And that is a foolish thing for me and you to do as well, for us to take these matters into his own hands. Let me tell you what happens to us sometimes. Sometimes a plan doesn't go how you thought it was going to go. Have you ever thought like, you know, this is going to happen, and then you go, well, that didn't happen like I thought it was going to. That didn't go according to plan. Well, that's what happened with David. And so he gets angry, and can I tell you this? When anger gets on the throne, reason goes out the door, and we're no longer thinking rationally. We're just going to do what we need to do. And so he takes 400 men with their swords and says, we're going to go and we're going to kill everybody in his house. Well, one of those shepherds goes and talks to Abigail, Nabal's wife. Remember at the reading we read earlier, it said that she was a woman of good understanding. This was a woman who had a little bit of a clearer line of thinking. And he goes to Abigail and says, look, David did us well. He took care of us and all these things. And he went and talked to your husband, and this was your husband's response. He told David, who are you? And I don't really care. He said, get up the road. And I think they're coming with 400 men and swords, and they're going to kill everybody in the house. So things are bad. Here's what Abigail does. Abigail gets together this great, basically, gift for David. It says over there, look in verse 18. It said, "And Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and two bottles of wine and five sheep ready dressed and five measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, 'Go on before me. Behold, I come after you.'" But she told not her husband Nabal. Now, you know why? And now these are things that we need to understand about ourselves tonight. Do you know why that shepherd went to Abigail and he didn't go to Nabal? The story didn't go. He went to Nabal and said, "Nabal, you need to reconsider." He didn't go to him. Do you know why he didn't go to him? Because he wasn't going to reconsider. He knew that Nabal would not have even considered that he was wrong. Again, ego is the enemy. When you can't be wrong, you're in a bad place. I say this sometimes to folks. If you're the smartest person in the room, then you are in the wrong room. In other words, we need to get around some people that are smarter than us. And so he wouldn't go to Nabal. He went to Abigail because she would listen. You could reason with her. She would understand. And Abigail puts this great gift together and goes to David. And what she does here is she plays the role of peacemaker. And she goes to David, and again, it's a long reading, and we're not going to read it, but here's what she says. She goes to David and brings this gift and says, listen, don't do this thing. She also says, "My husband's name means he's a fool." She said, "And he is acting foolish. Don't do this." She said, "Hey, and the Lord speaks through her." And she tells David, she said, "Everything that the Lord said he's going to do for you, he's going to do. He's going to deliver you from your enemies. He's going to place you as king. You're the Lord's servant. And don't be so foolish today to avenge this matter on your own hands." She plays the peacemaker. Have you ever had anybody in your life? It's amazing how when we get angry and worked up and our emotions are running high, I love talking to somebody who's not involved in the situation. Because sometimes we're too close to a situation to be able to be rational. And every now and then we need somebody to say this, "You need to calm down and you need to think a little clearly about what you're doing." And we need to be those people at times that play the Bible said, Jesus said this, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." It wasn't, look, we could have had a big problem here. We could have had a big deal. I mean, 400 men's coming and we're about to have a big war. But Abigail goes to David and said, "David, you do not want to do this." I tell people all the time things. It's amazing. Again, ego is the enemy. I've seen people draw a line in the sand over the dumbest issues I've ever seen in my life and say, "I will not back off of this." And I always tell them, "Hey, you are picking the wrong battle to fight." I think there needs to be hills that we'll die on. I think there are things we need to fight for. But I think there are a lot of things that are not worth fighting over. They're not worth drawing the line in the sand and saying, "Hey, we're gonna just do this." And this was one of those issues. This was one of the issues where, hey, things have gotten out of hand. I mean, hey, things have escalated quickly. It started off, David went to Nabal and said, "Hey, we're coming to you on it. Man, this is a good day, isn't it? Man, isn't this a great day? We helped you out. Now, you know, hey, whatever you want to do, help us out." Nabal said, "Nah, I don't even... Well, we're about to go to war then. Give me 400 men, we're going to war." Whoa, things have gotten out of hand quickly. And we need people to say, you need to think about this. And that's what she was. Now look at what it said in verse 32. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Do you know why David is so great? You know why we read about David, why he's so great? Is because David was always willing to say, I was wrong. That was wrong. That's why David is a man after God's own heart, and Saul's went crazy. David said, the Lord sent you to me. You know what he could have said? He could have killed her first and took all the stuff and said, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to follow through with my plan. I said we're going to do it, and I ain't changing course. But we got to have enough discernment to know when God is trying to intervene. Can I tell you there are times when God tries to intervene and we just continue on? I mean, I think sometimes when we're tempted to sin, you know what happens? I mean, I don't think I'm the only one here tonight who's ever been tempted with sin and said, and the Holy Spirit said, now, Derek, this is not something you should do. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. It's a bad move. It's a bad move. And it's even worse when somebody comes in the flesh and says, you need to think about it. And let me say this, too. We usually will get in a mess when we do things in haste. When we do things in the heat of the moment. If we can be wise enough to take the time to say, let me ask you a question. Will it matter if we do it tomorrow? Will it matter if I put it off? Because sometimes if we put it off, it can save us a lot of heartache and hurt. And so he acknowledged that the Lord sent her. And he also acknowledged that her advice was good advice. And that God sent her to keep him from avenging his own self and shedding blood and making a mess of the whole situation. And I would say this to us all. Make sure when you dig your heels in that you're digging your heels in on the right issue. And that you're not on the losing side. You're not on the wrong side of a battle. I've dug my heels in before on the wrong deal, and being wrong, and you look like a fool when you do that. So be careful. The Bible tells us in Proverbs about people that are quick to anger and people that can't control themselves. They're like a city that the walls are broke down, and so we don't want to do that. So David took the gift and went on. And look at what it said in verse 36. It said, and Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. So again, a little insight into who Nabal is. He tells David, hit the road. And then after he tells him, hit the road, he said, we're going to throw a big party because I'm Nabal. I'm not a king, but we're going to act like one. And gets drunk. And so Abigail doesn't tell him. Verse 37 said, but it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. So she tells him the news, said, David was coming to kill us all, and I took a bunch of stuff and gave it as a gift, and I stopped it. And the Bible said that his heart dies and he becomes like a stone. And then it said in verse 38, and it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. You say, what is that? What's that telling us? Well, it tells us this, that if we'll let God handle stuff, he can accomplish more than what we ever could. And then we're innocent of it. We don't have to deal with the consequences of it. Nabal dug his heels in against God's anointed man. Bad move. You know, all he had to do was help him out a little bit. He was a great man. Hey, he had the access to help. But he decided not to because of his ego or because of his pride or because he was obviously a man that was mean and evil and out of control. And guess what? He reaped what he sowed. And David reaped what he sowed because he took the advice of someone who stopped him from doing something foolish. And so Nabal dies. David gets word about it, and he calls for Abigail to be his wife. Remember, how did she wind up with Nabal in the first place? Don't we always wonder that about people? How did she wind up with him? But she was a beautiful woman and of good understanding, and so David calls for her to be his wife. And look at her character here in verse 41. Now, if you want to know what a great person, this is how great she was. It said, "And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." The queen, or not even, let me be a servant to wash the feet of the servants. She had a humble mindset. And if we'll lower ourselves, you know what the Lord will do? He'll raise us up. And if we raise ourselves up, then we have our own reward. But if we'll have that attitude, she had the attitude of a peacemaker. She had the attitude of a servant and a humble heart. And let me say this about David and Abigail. Do you know what we need to do? I think David, man, when he thought about her, just thought about how much sense she had and how she helped him and her advice was good. We need to partner with people that add to our life. Partner with people that bring value to our life. And so tonight, evaluate some of your relationships and say, what do they bring to my life? Do they bring that good advice? Do they bring a humble spirit? Do they bring help to me? Do they edify me? Do they encourage me? Do they comfort me? Do they help me? Have you ever been around somebody that you hate to see come and you love to see them go? Those people are not the people we need to have in our life much. We don't need to have people in our life that bring us anxiety and bring us negative feelings and to bring us sinful things into our life. Here's what I know about a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics and all this other folks. If you don't change the environment, they don't change. And whatever struggle we might be going through, we've got to change the environment by getting away from some of these people that are bad for us, but also adding people to our life that are good for us. And so through that little story, I think we see a lot of good little lessons, a lot of good things that we can pull from it and apply to our life. And so let's take those and actually use them for the honor and glory of God and for that good. And so we want to do that. Remember those that we mentioned today in prayer, a lot of folks in need.